Okay, now would everyone please stand for the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kohan Israel Hawkins.
You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. This is a really great thing that is taking place here, and you'll understand by the time this sermon is out why I wanted to play that tape. I kept expecting Barack Obama to introduce me. Because he kept talking about the answers to these problems, the solution, and of course, the house of Yahweh is the only one that has such a thing. Praise Yahweh. I don't know if you remember where we left off last week, but we was talking about our foundation. And of course, the foundation that you can see that the world has, and this was brought out loud and clear in Barack Obama's speech. Of course, nothing is said as to what is really taking place here, where it's taking place, and the big actions, where they are going to be very, very soon now. In fact, it's already started. We can see it. We can see it all over and around the great river Euphrates. This is just part of what we're going to see. The showdown, of course, is going to come when each of these three players, as Malachi Martin brought out in his book, The Keys of This Blood, when these three players want to grab the authority or the control for themselves. Now, of course, the Catholic Church, if you remember, I brought out the Fatima prophecies a few weeks ago, and I brought this out before. But the Fatima prophecies, they were showing what Satan's plans were. Now, Satan tried to blame Yahweh for what she was going to do to the earth. But this was all her plans to get rid of mankind, totally wipe him off of the face of the earth. And this is what she hopes to do, and she still has the plans, and of course you remember what Yahshua said, if she can get rid of heaven and earth, or the earth with the heavens that involve the earth, that's what this is speaking of. If you look where the earth is placed in the universe, it's way out on one limb of the universe, way away from anything else. And it's very insignificant, but it's far, far away. And the distance, of course, that separates us there is vast, and this is one of the ways that Yahweh can control and safeguard his plan from attack before anything could possibly get nearer this earth in the way of something that Satan could send or some of the spiritual or spirit gods that are working with her at this time. Before anything could possibly get near this earth, he would have control of it. He'd have knowledge of it before it ever took off to begin with, because he knows what her plans are long before she made them herself. And he just knows the mind, and he's got such wisdom. It's amazing. It's amazing how he can predict what a person or what Satan is going to do thousands of years in advance. He knows it, then he prepares for it to meet the needs at that time. Well, their foundation, of course, is placed by Satan. Everything in the scripture shows that the nations, the religions, are following Satan. They're led by Satan. They're inspired by Satan. The feast days that the Catholic Church, I forget what year the Catholic Church ordained those feasts, but I'll get it for you. where all the feast days of Yahweh was knocked out. This was after thousands of so-called Jews. They were actually Galileans or people who had been taught by the Galileans. If you remember, Yeshua placed the word with the Samaritan woman, who was, of course, they would call her a Jew because she was of the 12 tribes, naturally. And of course, she said, our fathers said we were supposed to worship in this mountain. Well, our fathers was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they were still worshiping in that mountain. Well, Yahshua knew this, of course, and the house of Yahweh was established there. Of course, they were not part of the house of Yahweh, but they were still carrying those laws and prophecies with them as best they could remember, like the American Indian, quote, American Indian. They were doing the same thing. And of course, we had to wipe them out, didn't we? The Catholic Church had to find a way of getting rid of those people. Well, this is, of course, Satan's doing, and Yahweh does allow this, and he knew that there would be no house of Yahweh for several thousand years, but the prophecy said, in the last days then, I will establish my house, then it will take the message of the kingdom to all the existing nations at that time. Now, he prophesied in advance before these nations that we're teaching right now. He prophesied in advance what they were going to be doing. I remember the speech of Barack Obama's, because later we'll see this in prophecy when we get to the back to the quartet again. And remember the Fatima prophecies that I brought you. I'll be rehearsing those with you from time to time. But they're Satan's plan. And you can see this, and you can see she's saying, you know, that God is going to kill a bunch of you people because you didn't bring these people to worship me, to do what I said. Well, she's referring to Yahweh, of course. And when they refer to God in the Holy Scriptures, of course, they are referring to God only when they mean Lord. But they're referring to Yahweh when they say that mean old judge, you know, that relentless judge. This is an implant that Satan implanted into their minds and into their seed, into the 12 tribes. Genesis 49 said, this is what's going to come down to you in the last days. And then he even showed you from what tribes that the great violence would come from and be so extreme in this time period. I know you've noticed all the shootings that's taken place, even in the little town of Abilene. If you watch the news every evening, they got a new gunfight at OK Corral or nearest apartment house, sometimes two or three of them. But the violence is getting worse. People are going in, you know, to places and shooting as many people as they possibly can. But turn over to Ephesians. I want to rehearse that with you because our foundation was laid first by the prophets. Now, if you think our job is hard, you think about what the prophets was going through and how Yahweh actually brought this about with one scripture at a time that he inspired a certain prophet to write, here a little and there a little, and then he would inspire another prophet to write, and of course the house of Yahweh, that was Ephesians, I wanted you to turn to the second chapter. But then comes down to the Savior, and then the apostles, they take over using, of course, the prophecies and pointing these out, pointing out prophecies and actually quoting them and at the same time writing them for us. Now, at this time period, Yahweh is showing us this foundation. Then he's increasing our understanding where we can understand what is taking place among these four great powers that was seen by Daniel, Zechariah, and others, and of course written in Revelation. And then the quartet, which was also seen by these same writers, and different people, different leaders that the Pope would use to bring about certain things in this time period here. These are all the plans of Satan, but Yahweh is broadcasting to us what they are so we can take this message of Yahweh to the world and say, hey, there is a place of protection. There is salvation offered at this time period, and it's at Yahweh's habitation. Seek the habitation of Yahweh, he said. Then Yahshua said the same thing. Seek the habitation of Yahweh, the kingdom of Yahweh. Seek it first. Seek it first. He says that to you. Seek it first. And then all of these other things will be added to you. What the world is doing is seeking the other things. The other things. And of course, this comes with a vast amount of knowledge of the other things. Knowledge in creating and manufacturing the other things that will bring in what we think will bring us great joy and gladness, or as the world says, happiness. Bring happiness to our lives. And then we see this happiness all wiped out overnight, and you see people crying on the news now as the pillar of fire by day takes place and keeps building and building, and the clouds of smoke by night keep roaring overhead and sweeping the air as the El Nino takes over again. I can tell you it's not her that's taking over, that's bringing this heat wave to Abilene. It's the El Yahweh that's taking over and bringing this heat wave. cleansing Texas and Oklahoma, because that's where the 2 billion people are coming to. It's the great Yahweh that's taken over, and he is protecting his house. And that's exactly what all the prophets tell you is taking place right now in this time period. And of course, you won't see a big spectacular thing. It looks like, well, nature just got out of control. Yeah, it is. It's totally out of control because Satan brought it out of control. But Yahweh is still guiding this part of it. Now, in the seeking the other things first, they do that throughout Pennsylvania, New York, Washington. And did you see what's taking place with it? It's washed away. They did it here in Texas. It's burned up. You can see what these other things can bring you when you seek them first. There's no certainty. If the world would seek Yahweh's way first, then we could have certainty. We could look forward to lasting joy, right? Lasting joy. Well, there's nothing lasting in the world today, and if the natural disasters that they've created for themselves by screwing up the firmament, or the atmosphere as they call it, the firmament, they've killed it like they're killing everything else. And of course, it's out of control. It can't manage with what it's got left. And it's getting more out of control. It's mourning and fading away, as Isaiah 24 shows. The earth is mourning, the atmosphere is mourning, and it's fading away slowly, being eaten away by AIDS and other STDs that's floating around in our universe. The scientists now know that, by the way. I don't know how they found out about that. But here in Ephesians 2 and verse 20, he tells you where our foundation is, and he says to seek it first. He said, verse 19, be no longer like the world. Verse 19, you got it? It's found on page 917. And he says, don't be any longer like the strangers, like the nations, like the religions are, being tossed to and fro, back and forth, like a ship on the waves of the ocean. Don't be like that anymore. In verse 20, he says, that was verse 19. He said, you have a foundation here of the apostles and prophets with Yahshua himself here building the house. He's the builder, if you'll notice in verse 21, in whom the whole house is being built. And do you see that word fitly? Did you ever look it up? You should take time to look some of these words up. Of course, it has to do with keeping Yahweh's laws, keeping his appointments first, and seeking first the kingdom, but fitly joined together. If you're unfit, you're not going to be joined in this. You won't fit. You'll be like this, trying to get in that slot right there, and it don't work. You see, you'd be like a square fist trying to get in a round hole. It can't get in there. So Yahshua has to reshape you to where you become round like the hole that he wants to put you in. Now, he's not shaping your body physically, although it's changing too, but he's shaping your mind, your character, where your character will be able to get along with the one next to you without the fighting, the bickering, fussing that is going on now. Like he got along with his apostles. Yes, he did have to scold them once in a while, and yes, they took it politely, and they thanked him for doing it. And when you do that, you're thanking Yahshua for straightening you out, making you round instead of square. So you could fit in this slot that Yahshua is trying to put you in, the office in his house. It has a door there, and your character has to be shaped just perfectly, or it won't go through that door. Now, if you think of it that way, and when I scold you the next time, say, thank you, Israel. Oh, I'm so glad you straightened me out where I could get through this door. I've been trying to squeeze it all. Now, we had some other scriptures there, but I think that's enough there to rehearse. The big thing is you've got to believe. Don't just believe. Believe all that the prophets have spoken. There's your first foundation. The second foundation laid on top of that one, as the apostles said, laid by the apostles. And Yahshua then, he's the one that starts adding the stones to the house. That should make it a little bit clearer. Now, if you remember, I was talking about a letter, the opposition, of course, the Catholic Church that is running the world right now, managing the nations. This newspaper article came from DirecTV, and I mentioned it to you last week or week before last. The Pope laments society's amnesia about God. The pontiff visiting Spain laments the dwindling faith in once a staunchly Catholic country. Once staunchly Catholic. Well, how did it become that way? Of course, that's the great thing that we want to see. How did it come Catholic? There were so many Galileans out in the world, and Spain was filled with them because they were trying to escape the persecution in Israel. The people that left Israel or left Galilee, they spread the word. And of course, this word was, we're to keep appointments with Yahweh. And the name was Yahweh. It wasn't God. It wasn't Lord. And all of these little things went out with everyone that fled from one place to another. And of course, Spain was one of the countries to which they fled. That wasn't where Yahweh took his two witnesses. They didn't even know about that place at the time where Yahweh was going to harbor his two witnesses. Are y'all getting this now? Spain wasn't the country, but it had a bunch of Galileans there in that country. There, Germany spread throughout. Everywhere the Hebrews went and established colonies, which was all these nations, they became a multitude of nations. And what you see today is the 12 tribes and the last days history, going to soon be history, all of it, of these 12 tribes, the only family that Yahweh is actually working with. They have taken over the whole world. They have become the whole world. Well, of course, they had taken over and built Spain, built colonies. Their minds was on work. Now, they had police forces, of course, to guard and protect these cities. They had religions already set up by the used-to-be Pharisees who were now calling themselves something else in the different towns. But they were all following after the gods, none of them following after Yahweh. But you had this big mixture like you had in Rome, and remember this about Spain now. You had this huge mixture like you had in Rome. The Apostle Shaul, he actually wrote a book to the people in Rome at that time, telling them, knowing that they had fled for their lives, and Yahshua, before he ascended to heaven, he said, I don't send you out to different races. I don't send you to the heathen, but to the lost 12 tribes of Israel do I send you. Go not to the others. Go not to the heathen. Well, he knew that there were heathen all over the world at that time. You could call them heathen Jews, like Hitler was a heathen Jew. But he fought the people. He was Hebrew. So was Mussolini. So was Francisco Franco of Spain. A murderer. Of the tribe, probably of Levi, Yada or Levi. If you remember the violence that Yahweh prophesied for that tribe, said, here's where you're going to get your violence in the last days, is from these two tribes. And he said, let us not be joined to them. Let us not become a part of their violence. Maybe we ought to turn there and read that right quick. Genesis 49 again. Simon and Levi, verse 5, Genesis. It's the first book in your Bible. You're supposed to laugh when I say that. Is anybody awake? Okay. Praise God. Genesis 49, verse 5. Simon and Levi are brothers. Now, this means more than blood here, of course, but he's tying the two tribes together here to show you where the violence comes from. Simon and Levi are brothers. Their swords are weapons of violence. Their wars. Remember verse 1. Let me show you what's going to take place in the last days. Their wars are extreme violence, is what he's saying to you is going to be in the last day. Let me not enter their council. Who is this me? Yahweh. Yahweh's righteousness. Yahweh's righteous people here. Let us not enter into this kind of council of let us be like Yahshua. Yahshua, turn the other cheek. Let Yahweh be your protection. Don't give in to or let them lead you into their stupidity, into this same violence. You know, they hit, you want to hit. This is the way man was made. This is the thing you've got to overcome. That's the character we've got to overcome. Someone corrects you, you want to slash back at them, don't you? Don't do this. Be thankful. Be thankful, especially for your supervisors who want to correct you. Whether they do it right or wrong, you're the one that's being judged for how you react to it. You'll become a supervisor one day. Supervisor of kings, supervisor of governors, all kinds of powers in the nation. You're going to be leading those people. And you'll see how important what I'm telling you now is to bringing peace and keeping peace in Yahweh's house. Well, back to Ephesians here now. Oh, no, we went by that. Ephesians, we were in 1. Let's look at verse 17 because I see chapter 1 and verse 17. We really need to read, before we read that one, we really need to go, let's start here. We'll go back to the other. 1:17 of Ephesians, he says, asking that the Father of our King, Yahshua Messiah, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom. Now, this is very important that you understand what he's talking about here. The spirit of wisdom comes with teaching. And you can't teach unless you're sent. Remember all those scriptures. But this wisdom, Ephesians 1 and verse 17, this is a prayer that he wants you to pray for. Then revelation, that means prophecy. So he's asking the Father, ask the Father of our King, Yahshua Messiah, or ask Yahweh through our high priest and King, Yahshua Messiah, to grant you this spirit of wisdom and revelations for the full knowledge. Now get the word knowledge, get the word prophecy there, revelation, and the word wisdom for the full knowledge of Him, that is Yahweh. For the full knowledge of Yahweh, you've got to get this. And it's something that He says, pray for, earnestly seek for, another one said. If you hold your place right there and go over to Yochanan, the 6th chapter, Yochanan 6, and don't think that this is Casper now he's telling you to seek for, Casper the friendly ghost. This is the spirit of wisdom, of revelations, of understanding. Of understanding this, and it includes this great wisdom that Yahshua said, seek this first. It comes, this great wisdom comes with righteousness, which is shown to you what it is here. In Yochanan 6, the Savior shows you what it is. It is the Spirit that gives life. It's the Spirit. How? It gives you laws so that you can fit in. It'll govern your life. That'll completely convert you so you can fit in that round hole, go through that door that is perfectly square or whatever. It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. And this is what we try to satisfy the most now. The way we were made, we continually try to satisfy the flesh. We follow its lust. We follow its desires. The Pope can have a commercial on television and have you buying some of the stupidest stuff you could ever imagine. And then once you get it, you know, then you want to build yourself a storage building to start putting it in because you never use that stupid stuff. And this goes on all the time. You'd probably be putting the Easter eggs in a storage building if they didn't ruin overnight. Maybe we could get some artificial ones that we can keep. We can just get sack after sack of them and keep hanging them in that stupid storehouse. It really makes a lot of sense, don't it? Well, Yahweh said that I would point out the stupidity of this. That's one of the prophecies of the witness in the last day. But it's hard to see it otherwise. You just keep buying storage buildings and more goofy stuff to go in them. Okay, he says, it's the Spirit now that gives you this life. The flesh is useless. The laws that I speak to you, they are the Spirit. Believe it, this is the Spirit. They are life everlasting. In these laws, what's he talking about? Even 10 commandments. And then two of the greatest ones before them. Then 613 little ones that would actually help to govern and convert your spirit to total perfection. And that's what the kingdom is going to be run by. Hold your place in Ephesians. Hold your place in Yochanan. And go over now to Isaiah 59. And here's the foundation. Isaiah 59, if you remember, that's the one that shows you that sin cuts you off from Yahweh. Remember, first two verses shows you that sin cuts you off from Yahweh, so you can't receive this prayer that he just told you to pray for. He told you to pray for in Ephesians 1:17. He said, pray for this to Yahweh through Yahshua Messiah. It's something that must be prayed for. Earnestly seek for it. Well, here in Isaiah 59, look at verse 21. He says, as for me, this is my covenant with them, talking about a certain people that is going to bring forth Yahweh's words in these last days. Take them to the nations, expose their sins, show them the prophecy. This is found on page 567, Isaiah 59. And talking about this covenant, I remember Hebrews 10 says, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, or in the last days. And the same thing Yahshua said, the last generation, after these other things have taken place. And he reestablishes his house in the last days. Well, he says here now, as for me, this is my covenant with them, says Yahweh, my spirit, which is upon you, namely my laws, which I have put in your mouth. So in the last days now, you can see here in Yochanan, don't lose your place here in Isaiah yet. But Yochanan, he said, it's the spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The laws that I speak, they are the spirit, and they're life everlasting. Back to Isaiah now, 59, verse 21, and it's Yahweh doing the speaking here. And this is the foundation that he gave to you through the prophets that Yahshua said, you must believe this. You must believe this. And Yahweh said, this is it. My spirit, which is upon you, namely my laws, which I have put in your mouth, they will not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your seed, nor from the mouth of your seed's seed, says Yahweh, from this time and forevermore. So he's speaking to the last generation here, as Yahshua was speaking to the last generation in Matthew 24. The last generation, where, and the seventh message going out to all the world, the seventh messenger, Revelations 10, and then the last verse of that chapter says you got to go to all the nation. Well, that's the same thing he's speaking of here, and Yahshua speaking of in Matthew 24. Now, if you look to verse 15 of that same chapter, he said, yes, truth. And if you know anything about the scriptures, you'll know that the laws are truth. Yahweh's laws are truth. This was said in several places. The plainest and most accurate was the Psalms 119, I think, verse 142 and 165 or something like that. Yes, truth. the law is suppressed today. Well, it's been suppressed now. It's been suppressed for 2,000 years. Every Galilean or every person that was taught by a Galilean that wanted to bring forth or tell somebody about the seventh day Sabbath after Constantine changed the Sabbath, that person was putting his life in danger. There was a death penalty against it. There was a death penalty against the feast days. I'll give you a list of the feast days of the Catholic Church that they passed for themselves. Now, these are appointments with Satan herself as 1 Yochanan 3, verse 7 and 8 shows. They're not the commandments of Yahweh or the appointments that Yahweh showed in by the foundation of the prophets, but they are feast days, and this is the feast days that they passed for their people to keep. And if you don't keep them, you're putting your life in danger, even today. Even today, and more especially today, because of the fact that you know, Satan intends to try to wipe out all of Yahweh's people. But believe the prophecy. You have a place of protection. This is the only place on earth where there is protection, brother. Yes, truth is suppressed. And he who departs from evil, that is, upholds the law, is accounted as mad, makes himself a prey. It couldn't be more true, but in the past history, just from the time I was born, because more especially that time, because Satan knew when I was going to be born, and that was the big push to kill off every Galilean and everyone who was taught by a Galilean, everyone who mentioned the Sabbath or stopped eating pork or whatever, makes himself a prey. Yahweh saw this, and it displeased him that there was no justice in the last days. If you look down to verse 19 now, he says, so they will reverence the name of Yahweh from the west. So here you're speaking of a people now, a people that Yahweh is establishing, building, making them convert to fit into his house. So they will reverence the name of Yahweh. Do you know anybody in the world that's doing that except the house of Yahweh? No. Not anyone in the world. Even the people who call themselves after the name of Yahweh and say they are some kind of assembly of Yahweh, they don't come to the house and get to Yahweh's appointed Sabbath or feast days. So, you know, they're not reverencing Yahweh. You reverence him if you heard that series that we ran on reverencing Yahweh. You know that the only way you can reverence Yahweh is to keep his laws at his house, his appointed feast, and so forth. Well, they will reverence the name of Yahweh from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun, when our enemies will come in like a flood. The Spirit, that is the laws of Yahweh, will lift up a standard against them. I think this all should be put to song. You know, this sounds like a perfect song to bring out. Look, now that we're in verse 19. Look again now at verse 21. Again, as for me now, he's talking about people that will reverence his name. And as for me, verse 21, this is my covenant with them. Those who will reverence my name, says Yahweh, my Spirit, which is upon you, speaking to a certain person here. In fact, he says, who will take this message to them? Let the one sent take it to them. Namely, my laws, which I have put in your mouth, they will not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your seed. In other words, our sons and daughters are not going to be falling away from this faith. This, praise Yahweh. Nor from the mouth of your seed, says Yahweh, from this time and forevermore. Let's go back now to Ephesians again, 1:17. Ephesians again, 1:17, with all of that in mind. And remember the knowledge and the wisdom, the laws. And he says, asking that the Father of our King, Yahshua Messiah, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom, the laws of wisdom. These are laws of wisdom that we're told to seek first in our life. You know, that's the only thing that matters now. The righteousness of Yahweh, that's the only thing that should matter in your life right now is these laws. Bringing your life into perfection with them. And understanding the prophecy for the full knowledge of Yahweh. Understanding the laws and the prophecies. Understanding how you've got to yield your life. Now, remember Yochanan 6:63. Now, this is life eternal. Let's go back to Isaiah again, but Isaiah 44 this time. Isaiah 44, and look at, this is found on page 558. Should have had you hold it there a while ago. Now remember, Yochanan 6:63. These are what gives you life, eternal life. The laws that I speak, which was he the laws of Yahweh. That's what he spoke. He said, if you want to enter into life, keep the laws of Yahweh. Matithya 19, verse 17, I believe. But here in Isaiah now, 44, and look first at verse 19. And none considers logically in his mind, neither in their knowledge. It's not in their knowledge. And here again, we see that word knowledge. And I'm impressing it because it comes to a certain point to where you will understand what we're talking about here. The knowledge that you must seek first, this great wisdom of Yahweh, none considers logically in his mind, neither is their knowledge nor understanding to say, I have burned part of it in fires. Yes, I have baked bread upon it, its coals, roasted meat over them, and have eaten. He's talking about, of course, making statues to worship, as Yahshua said, sepulchres even. They build the sepulchres and so forth. But none of them even consider this. Then will I now make this the rest of it an abomination, a god, El, or Lord? Will I now fall down in front of the trunk of the tree? This is the character of the world right here that you see in the world today. Worshiping the creation, but not the Creator. Look at verse 21 now. Verse 21. Now remember these lessons about the worship of the gods. Speaking to the two witnesses, O Jacob and Israel, for you are servants. I made you a servant to me, O Israel. You will not be forgotten by me. Verse 22, I have blotted out like a thick cloud your transgressions, and like a cloud your sins. Return. That word return doesn't mean that I left Yahweh. This word return means, and notice, return to me, it actually means to restore, to bring, to render, answer, recompense, recover, recover to me, deliver to me, to put, withdraw, requite. In any case, it means wise. Wise or wisdom, it says. In any case, it means wise or wisdom. It means to call to mind, to consider, continually convert. Continually convert. Now, that's the word that they translated return. It could have been translated return, I guess, but it actually means much more than convert. Continually convert, recall, refresh, relieve, rescue, retrieve, reverse, reward. It means all of those things. It means to return or go back, bringing back to Yahweh. This phrase, however, may also mean merely constant movement, like a raven going back and forth, like we went back and forth to Israel, turning from or pursuing evil, will again feed and keep my flock. That's the different ways that the word is used. But it's talking about the work that returns people or brings back people to Yahweh to raise up the 12 tribes or so forth. This is verse 22. I blotted out like a thick cloud your transgressions and like a cloud your sins. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. We're in verse 22. Let's read on. Sing, O heavens. Now, the reason he's saying this right here is heaven is witnessing what is going on right now with you in the house of Yahweh. And actually considering, you know, if you're waiting on, and the scripture says they're earnestly waiting to see this manifestation of the sons of Yahweh. Who is it he's going to choose for a son or a daughter in this great kingdom that he's putting together, that he said, do this, and I will make you a kingdom of priests unto me. Well, of course, a kingdom of priests is ones who is going to be teaching, Yahweh says, even the entire universe. So heaven, yes, is anxiously looking at and seeing what Yahweh is developing here and considering. Well, of course, Yahweh intends to bring you to perfection and make you fit in that hole, Yeshua. This is his job in these last days. As I speak, Yeshua does the inspiration to change you and mold you where you can get through that door. Not physically, but character-wise. Well, he's saying, sing, O heavens. Yes, it's great. It's going to be done. For Yahweh has done it. He's done it. He's done it through this last day's work. In chapter 44, you should be familiar with that. And he's talking about a special work of the two witnesses that is finished in those last days. So Yahweh has done it. It's done in this generation. It's going to be finished. Yahweh has done it. Shout, you lower parts of the earth, break forth into singing. This should be included in that song. This would make a great song. Sing, you mountains. That's the uplifted places. It's the same wording that's used in Isaiah 2, the promotion of Yahweh's house into singing, you mountains. You promoted, you forest. That trees are people. And every tree in it. For Yahweh has redeemed Jacob and glorified himself through Israel. That is verse 23. Let's keep on. This is what Yahweh, your Redeemer, he who formed you from the womb. Remember, I was born from the bowels of my mother. Yahweh spoke of me. It goes right with this verse right here, formed you from the womb. Yahweh's the one that formed you from the womb, starting immediately and before I was born, so I understand. Mother read the scriptures every night, every evening while I was in the womb, so formed you from the womb, saying, I am Yahweh who makes all things, who stretched out the heavens together with my servants, who spread out the earth with me. I am the one who frustrates the signs of the false prophets, who tells them how goofy they are in what they're doing, who makes fools out of diviners, who turns wise men backward and makes their knowledge, get this now, their knowledge nonsense. Well, that's what I was trying to show you a while ago, how stupid it is what grown people are actually doing to waste their time today. Where Yahweh and Yahshua said, seek first the kingdom, they're seeking gratification of the flesh. And this is going on constantly now. There's no end to it. I mean, you can take a phone now and entertain yourself all day long trying to figure out all the different things you can do with that phone. Well, it can become a time-wasting machine for you, and probably has already, because everyone has one, and there's more and more features coming out all the time for it. But there's some other, thousands of other things, too, that Satan has created for you. Anything to keep your mind off of seeking first the kingdom and his righteousness, which brings you eternal life, but it qualifies you for all of these things, all the voluptuous living that you could imagine later. I am the one who carries out the word of his servant and fulfills the plan of his messenger. Did you get that? He's speaking of the two witnesses right here in 44. The messenger is used as that same thing in Revelation. When the seventh messenger speaks, then the job is finished, as he says in this same chapter. Yahweh has done it. All of these things he's promised to you, O heavens and earth. Yahweh said, I call you to witness this, both heaven and earth. Well, now Isaiah is saying, when it starts here with this group of people, which you're part of this group, and Yahshua fitting you into this great kingdom that Yahweh is building, then Yahweh, through this group and in this time period of this group, has finished it. He's done it. I am the one who carries out the word of his servant, and fulfills the plan of his messenger, the one saying of Jerusalem, she shall be inhabited, and of the cities of Yada, they will be rebuilt, and her ruins will be restored. The one saying to the watery deep, be dry. The one saying, bring the drought, will be dry, and your streams I will dry up. The one saying, for uprightness, the one being my shepherd, who will accomplish all my purpose, who will say to Jerusalem, you shall be rebuilt, and to the temple your foundation will be laid. I wanted to get a little bit further, because we can see signs now that this is the plans this great organization. You know, Michelle Obama was asked the question, you might have saw that, who is the most important man on the face of the earth? And she said, the Pope. Well, of course, the Pope is the most important player in this theater of events that we're seeing here take place for heaven and earth to watch. He's Satan's number one leader, and ever since she established this system in Nimrod, this great school of knowledge, Gnostic, Gnosis. You get those words, Gnosticism, the Gnostics. Now, I brought it out in pre-existence. I brought it out about the Gnostics and how Christianity, that's what Christianity is, it's Gnosticism. But I'll bring more on that. I'll rehearse your memory on it. But as we go on deeper into this, I didn't get too far into it today, but we will next week, Yahweh willing, if something else don't come up. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the speak back to the next speaker. I love you.